Hello and welcome to Adventures with Words, where we explore storytelling in all its forms. My name's Rob.
And I'm Kate.
And today we're talking about confessions, famous books that we haven't read, which we're using the BBC's Great Read List, which lists 100 greatest books, which came out about in 2003,
yeah,
I believe.
2003.
The big issue is how many have we actually read to start with?
Shall I go first?
Yes, if you want to go first, yeah.
I've read 52 out of the 100 books from cover to cover, and then I've got another 3 that I started and never actually finished.
See, my number's 33 and a third, because if you heard last week, I've only read The Fellowship from Lord of the Rings, so it kind of counts. So I think where I got let down was a lot of the children's books I haven't read, and actually a lot of the classics. I've kind of had, as I go through the list, I've had a few near misses. So if we start off then, the first book is Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien, which I've only read The Fellowship from, but this is one of your favourites. Yes.
I was very pleased to see that that was top of the list. Rob was trying to tell me that it wasn't in any particular order, but I seem to recall it was. So I was pleased to tick that one off. That's a nice, easy opener.
Yeah, he's also on the list at 25 with The Hobbit, which I have read.
Excellent.
I read that at primary school. I can even remember the cover, the green cover hardback that I had. Don't remember much about it, but I can definitely say that's one that I have read. And I'm going to go back and read it again just in time for The Hobbit.
Yeah, the film.
The film, yes.
Number 2, we start getting to the classics now. This is Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice. Read this one?
Not one of mine, no. I have read Sense and Sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
She's also on there with number 38, got Persuasion, and then just down again with Emma.
Yeah, that's actually one that I've got as a half. I started it and I've never finished it. It's the only Jane Austen that I haven't read the way through, because I find Emma just so infuriating that I can't bear to read the book, unfortunately.
Well, that's fair enough, on the sounds of it.
She drives me mad. But Pride and Prejudice is a work of genius, I think. It's an absolutely fantastic book. It's so funny. All the sort of social mores at the time, I think the characterisation of the girl's parents is just fantastic. I absolutely love it. One of my favourite books ever.
I've seen various adaptations, but not actually sat down and read it, so that's not one I've done, I'm afraid. The next one is His Dark Materials, Philip Pullman. I've started it, but not... Yeah, I've got the big hardback on my shelf. That's one I want to head to.
That was one I actually wrote about as part of a university dissertation. I wrote to Philip Pullman with various theories about why he'd written bits of it. He wrote back and basically told me I was completely wrong.
That
it was
okay.
Just supposed to be a good story, which was a little embarrassing. But yeah, again, absolutely fantastic books. Really interesting sort of dissection of what it's like to be a teenager growing up. The idea of sort of, does religion have any place in society anymore? It's great fun. Really, really good. Mm. Sounds very serious, but it's such a good adventure.
Well, that's another one on my to-do list, I think. Yep.
Number 4, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Douglas Adams.
I was really pleased to see this on there. Another one. I've read all of them. I absolutely love it. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in all its various incarnations. That's a definite one that should be on there for me.
Yeah, so I've got another funny story about this one as well, actually. This one lost me a job because in a job interview, I was asked what my favourite book was. And it was a job for an all-boys school. And I went down the route of saying something like The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a really great book, particularly to get boys into reading.
It's true.
But apparently they would have preferred it if I'd said something more like Pride and Prejudice. So
to get boys reading?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I know, but I thought it was a good idea. I mean, I think it's really funny, as you said, you know, quite rude in places.
I did read it quite young. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But a great read, and definitely something I would have thought would get teenage boys into reading a bit more.
Absolutely. After that, we've got Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
And that's the first one of a few Harry Potters on the list, isn't it?
Yes. Further down, we've got Philosopher's Stone, Chamber of Secrets, and Prisoner of Azkaban. Now, I'm not too sure about the first two on that list.
No, I have to say, I'm not the biggest fan of J.K. Rowling's early work.
No.
I didn't read them until I was basically forced to by some friends who said you can't criticise a book until you've read it. And I you know, those first two books really are quite badly written in places. I mean, no problem with the story, great story, but just the quality of writing is not fantastic. I think it gets so much better as it goes along.
Yeah,
so
she does get better as she goes along. This probably shows the age of the list, actually, that the later ones aren't on there.
Yeah.
I'd say Goblet of Fire and Azkaban deserve to be on there.
Yeah, Goblet of Fire particularly.
That's my favourite one, actually.
Yeah, yes. Great book. So next on the list, classic GCSE text, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, that's not one that I've read, I'm afraid. We didn't do that at GCSE.
We didn't at my school either, actually, although I have read it since. Mm. It's quite an interesting one, that. It's an interesting story. The premise is all based on a factual event. Do you know anything of the background?
Yeah, I kind of do, yeah.
Yeah, so the black man who's accused of raping a young white girl. It's quite hardcore stuff. But the way in which it's written is really very dated now. So you have to be quite careful, I think, when you're reading it to sort of interrogate it a bit more strongly. Also, the character called Boo Radley, I think we would probably now think of him as having quite severe mental illness. So it's quite interesting the way that that has dated. And I think maybe in a few years' time, perhaps that wouldn't appear on these lists anymore. Kind of once perhaps it drops off the exam syllabus.
After that, Winnie the Pooh, A.A. Mill, which I have read, yes.
Oh, I love Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, it's a classic one when you're growing up.
Very clever, though.
Yeah?
Very clever book. I read a great book about how all the different characters have different sort of traits. Sort of Eeyore is obviously depressed. Mm. Piglet is a bit paranoid and so on. It's really good fun.
No, that's definitely... I get a bit muddled up with now all the various Disney adaptations. Yes. They all sort of blend into one. But no, that's one I used to read. I think I read two, actually, as a child growing up.
The poems are really funny too.
Absolutely. Really sweet. Yeah. Then after that, it's 1984, George Orwell. It's mm-hmm. another GCSE one, I'd say. I've read that one.
Yeah, I didn't read that until I think I was at university. It wasn't on the course. I just thought I probably ought to read it. But yeah, quite scary in places.
Yeah. He's also on the list later on for Animal Farm.
Oh,
another one
yeah.
that I've read. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't realise how historically based that was either, actually. It's a really direct retelling of communist Russia, which I hadn't realised it was so specific.
Yes.
And then we're on to The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
That's another one. Yeah, I've read all of them. Mm-hmm. Along with the BBC adaptations that we saw growing
yeah,
up.
I think our yeah. age group, where we had those BBC adaptations when we were quite little on at Christmas, I think probably most people our age who would watch those have probably read the books as well. My sister was absolutely mad about them. Used to watch them pretty much on repeat, and those were basically what led us into reading The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, that kind of magical kind
that's
of stories.
That's a good gateway in, yes. After that, Jane Eyre, Charlotte Bronte, that's one that I've read.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Really good film version recently, which I would definitely recommend. Really, really sort of beautifully shot. So if you haven't seen that, I'd definitely see if you can get that on DVD, have a look. That's really, really fantastic. Best adaptation I've ever seen. And Catch 22. Now, I have not read this one.
Neither have I.
Oh, no. So
that's one we can both agree on. We need to hunt down and read. So if you move on, Wuthering Heights, Emily Bronte, which I have.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Some people think that that's their absolute favourite book. I have to say, I much prefer Austen to this. It's a bit strange in places.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I wasn't a big Bronte. I think if I had to choose, it would be Austen again. Yeah.
And then Birdsong, Sebastian Faulks.
I know that's a favourite of yours, yes?
Just astonishing. Absolutely amazing book. I was incredibly disappointed by the BBC adaptation of it.
I couldn't see what the fuss was about at all. Yeah.
No, I think it's such a shame.
Once you explained it to me, how it was written...
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
So that was my first introduction to Sebastian Faulks. I hadn't read anything else previous to that. And I'd been recommended it and sort of hadn't got round to it. And then was just blown away by it. One of the most moving books that I've ever read. The way you've got the kind of dual narrative going on, the time before the war with the family, and then this character sort of struggling through the trenches, and the scenes where the characters are mining underneath the trenches. Just absolutely terrifying, completely gripping stuff. Would recommend the book, couldn't recommend it enough. The adaptation, it just didn't do it justice.
What's on my to-read list?
Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. Now, I sort of picked this up and then put it down again and never actually got around to reading. I don't know if you've read it.
No, I've only really known it through the film.
No, see, I haven't even seen that. So I'm...
It's one that my mum recommends, Hartley, but yes, the one that I picked up.
Okay. Add that to the list. The Catcher in the Rye, J.D. Salinger.
Not one that I've read. I've read his other work, Granny and Zoe, and some short stories. That was another university text, but not that one.
No, I really like this one, actually. I think I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I knew it was quite a sort of cult novel, and it's very interesting. I can see how you get to something like American Psycho from Catcher in the Rye. It's a really interesting kind of psychological analysis of a young man. So, yeah, knowing that you like to read sort of some Bret Easton Ellis
yes,
stuff,
I do, yep.
Then I, you know, I think Catcher in the Rye is a definite lead into that kind of text.
Slightly different is The Wind in the Willows, Kenneth Grahame. Yeah. Yes, that's, yeah, I
absolutely
think everyone our age possibly has read that one.
That's a lovely book. The bit where a mole comes home and it's Christmas time and he's got nothing to give Ratty just makes me cry. Although I do cry at a lot of things, but it's very sweet. And then we've got Great Expectations, Charles Dickens.
That's the first
my
Dickens
great nemesis.
On the list. Yes, he's also there for David Copperfield, A Christmas Carol, and then he's also Tale of Two Cities and Bleak House.
Mm. Joy.
Yeah, I'm not the greatest fan of Dickens either.
No.
I have read Bleak House and A Christmas Carol.
Now, Christmas Carol, yep, tick that off. Read that from start to finish. Bleak House and Great Expectations, started them, didn't finish them. And then the other Dickens that are on here, didn't even attempt. Bleak House was something that I was supposed to read for a course. Began it, just felt like clawing my eyes out, unfortunately. I know that the part of the story is to do with the interminable boredom of these continuing law cases.
That's
and
right,
so
yeah.
on. But I just felt perhaps he got that boredom a little too well.
Very authentic.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I was the same. A Christmas Carol, I think everyone knows that. Bleak House, it just went on.
Yeah.
And on.
I think the clue's in the name, really.
Pretty much, yeah. So moving on, Little Women, Louisa May Alcott.
That was one of my favourites when I was little.
I
wanted to be Jo. She's a writer.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah. She starts, you know, there's four sisters and they're sort of going off on adventures. There's a whole bit where they imagine they're going on Pilgrim's Progress around the house. But they also sort of start a newspaper and so on. Jo's the editor. It's great. It's really good fun. I think if you're a young girl to read about these very sort of feisty young women, it is good fun. But, I don't see why some boys wouldn't enjoy it as well.
Then Captain Corelli's Mandolin.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. What a book. Fantastic book. So moving. Don't see the film. Nicolas Cage is the exact opposite of what the main character is supposed to be. He has no charisma at all, whereas the book is fantastic. I'm a really big fan of Louis de Bernier. He wrote some amazing magic realism novels set in South America. Three novels, which are really, really brilliant. And this is just moments of the most amazing excitement, humour, romance, but also absolute tragedy as well. It's a fantastic book.
I'll have to look that one out then. Then War and Peace.
No.
I have to say as no as well.
I think, unfortunately, because of the name, people associate it with being such a massively long book. It's never really appealed to me. I've never needed to read it, although, you know, maybe if I have a lot of time on my hands at some point in the future, I might get around to it, but no, it's not on my list.
And we've got Gone with the Wind, Margaret Mitchell.
No.
No, it's another one that my mum recommends. There's a very dog-eared copy that she's got at home. But yes, one of those.
Mm. I've seen the film, of course.
Yeah.
Which is stunning. Yes, all the way through. Yes,
right,
I did pause it and go make a cup of tea. But I have seen it from, you know, all the way through. Mm. And it is amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. It's, yeah, absolutely stunning. Mm. So hopefully the novel will hold up for that then.
And then we're on to the next few Harry Potters, which we've already mentioned, The Hobbit, which we've talked about, and then Tess of the D'Urbervilles at number 26 by Thomas Hardy.
That's a no from me, I'm afraid.
I read that. This sounds bad, but I read it because I had to. I think at the time, all the descriptions of the muddy, brown Wessex countryside didn't really do a lot for me. The story of Tess is very beautiful and very tragic, but yeah, all that description, I'm afraid, was a bit lost on me at the time. I think it's something I'd like to come back to in the future and read again and sort of see if I appreciate it a little more next time round.
You haven't really sold that one to me, I'm afraid.
No. There is Far From the Madding Crowd is on here as well later on. I enjoyed that a lot more. It's about Bathsheba. She's a young lady trying to sort of run a farm, and it's again, it's a kind of rural farming kind of situation. That's a lot more fun, a lot more dramatic, that one. Slightly less sad.
So maybe I should start there then.
Yeah, I'd say that would be a better place to start.
Then we've got Middlemarch, George Eliot.
Oh, no, I haven't read that one.
Another one I haven't read, I'm afraid, no.
No.
Then A Prayer for Owen Meany, John Irving.
No.
Another no for me, yep. Grapes of Wrath, John Steinbeck.
I actually haven't read this.
Neither have I.
Which is something I feel like I ought to have done. I think Of Mice and Men is an amazing book, but that is actually the only Steinbeck I've read.
Yeah, I've never actually encountered that one in all my studies and extra reading.
It's never come up. Well, it's definitely something I'd like to read, though. Alice in Wonderland, or Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
Yes.
Now, I have read this.
So, yeah, that's a yes from me, yep.
When did you read it?
It was when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And then the Disney movie was on permanent repeat. My brother loves that one.
Quite psychedelic.
Yes.
Quite a strange film, that one, actually.
I think if I was reading it now, I'd be looking into it in a different way than I would at the time as a child.
Yes, absolutely. I think the books are, obviously there's Through the Looking Glass as well. I don't know if, it's not mentioned here, but I don't know if that is included. Sometimes they're seen as a sort of a single package. But they are quite fascinating stories. She's a very interesting heroine, a little flawed.
Then The Story of Tracy Beaker, Jacqueline Wilson.
I have read this
because
of my sort of children's fiction specialism when I was at uni. Jacqueline Wilson was one of the people who was on that course, actually. And then we've got something a little more serious. Gabriel Garcia Marquez, 100 Years of Solitude.
That's a no from me.
Oh, no, I have read that. It's very, very beautiful. And he's on here again with Love in the Time of Coleridge, which is even more wonderful. They're both really amazing books, I think. Again, kind of magic realism. You know, it's mostly as you would recognise it, but there are just sort of hints of things going on beneath the surface. You can't quite tell. It's really wonderful books.
I think as a Rushdie fan, then, I'd probably quite like those.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Then we have The Pillars of the Earth, Ken Follett.
No.
Seen bits of the TV show, but no.
No, I've seen a little bit of the first episode, and it put me off so much that I couldn't watch the rest, I'm afraid.
Oh, really? Right.
Yeah. It just seemed a little bit ridiculous. Don't know if that's a fair comment or not. We've got David Copperfield there, where we've already talked about our feelings about Dickens. And then we're on to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by Roald Dahl.
Yeah, the first Roald Dahl on the list. He's also there with the BFG, which I believe it's its anniversary this year, Matilda, and The Twits.
I've read all of those, actually.
So have I? Yeah. I think my favourite one out of those would possibly be The Twits.
Oh, I'd say that's probably my least favourite, right. I have to say, because it's just the all the little episodes of them being horrible to each other.
Which I think is what appealed to the young boy, yeah.
Yes, I'm sure, yes absolutely, I'm sure it was. I really enjoyed Matilda, I thought that was great.
They're all great. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is higher up on the list. That is kind of an iconic Roald Dahl, really.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's one of the most famous ones, probably because of the Gene Wilder film adaptation, which possibly kept it more in everyone's consciousness.
Yeah, let's just not talk about the Tim Burton one.
Let's never speak of that again.
Yes. Then we have Treasure Island, Robert Louis Stevenson.
I think that's a great book.
That's fantastic.
Such a good adventure story.
Really does. It's a rollicking sort of boy's own.
Absolutely.
Oh, I loved it, yep.
I mean, we wouldn't have, I know you probably might think that was a good thing, but we wouldn't have Pirates of the Caribbean and all that kind of thing if it weren't for Treasure Island.
Yeah. I won't say about anything like that.
Okay. I really like them, but that's just me. I like a good adventure. A Town Like Alice.
That's a no from me.
No from me as well, I'm afraid.
It's not one I'm really aware of, actually.
Not particularly.
No.
That's obviously something we need to investigate further.
We might have to there, yeah.
By the way, if any of these are appalling you that we're just saying no to, do let us know
if there's
anything that we ought to be reading. Persuasion by Jane Austen. We've already talked a little bit about Austen. I think Persuasion is much maligned. A lot of people think it's very dull. I actually think it's great.
Oh, right.
And
right.
A nice little trip to Lyme Regis, which is a very pretty seaside town in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Dune. Have you read Dune?
No. I've tried to sit through the film,
mm-hmm.
which apparently isn't a good adaptation anyway, but no, I haven't read any Frank Herbert at all.
No, me neither, I'm afraid.
Science fiction wasn't really high up on my reading lists, really.
I've read some sci-fi just for fun, but it's mainly been what my dad had on his shelves, and that wasn't one of them. So if we move on past Emma, which is my half, and onto Anne of Green Gables.
It's a no from me, I'm afraid.
I haven't read it. I have seen the film. which is quite sweet. But no, I haven't read that, actually. And then Watership Down by Richard Adams.
Haven't read it. Traumatised by the film as a child.
Yep. One of the most horrific things I've ever seen. The images of the sort of blood-stained rabbits just plugging up the burrows with their little bodies will live with me forever.
How that's a you, I don't understand.
No, it's absolutely brutal. It's a horrific film, but that's moving swiftly
on. We've got The Great Gatsby, Fitzgerald.
That's a yes.
No from me, I'm afraid.
That surprises me, because I know that you're interested in sort of American fiction.
Yeah, I never read that one. It was never on any of our classes, I'm afraid, no.
And The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. He wrote The Three Musketeers and that sort of series of books. And I went through a phase of reading all of those and having run out of Musketeers books that I could read, found The Count of Monte Cristo, which is an enormously long book, but it's well worth reading. If you fancy some kind of swashbuckling intrigue set in, or it's probably the sort of late 1700s in France, then it's well worth a go. It does take a long time, but I think it's worth it. It's great fun. Lots of sort of swords, masks, cloaks, poisons, all this kind of thing.
Oh, yes, yes. Brideshead Revisited, Evelyn Waugh.
Yes, I have read that, actually.
That's a no from me. One of the reasons for that is because my great-grandfather was actually on the board of publishers at Chapman & Hall for Evelyn Waugh. Mm. So sitting at home, we've got a number of sort of proof first edition Evelyn Waughs.
Oh my goodness.
Which we're obviously not allowed to touch.
No.
Because they're so valuable. One of them, unfortunately, isn't even signed by Waugh, because it says on the note at the front, Captain Waugh was unavailable to sign this book because he was off at the war. So yes, I've never actually been able to read them because I haven't been allowed to.
I'll lend you my copy.
I'll have to do that, yep.
It's really good. I have to say, I did watch the television version with Jeremy Irons first. Absolutely loved that. And then read the book as a result. Such a lovely story. Also, you know, really sort of fascinating family politics. Yeah, so I'd really recommend it if you get a chance.
I certainly want to read Scoop, just the journalism one.
Yes.
About war. That one looks quite good fun. Then we have Animal Farm, which I've already mentioned, followed swiftly by A Christmas Carol and Far From the Madding Crowd.
Yep.
Which you've mentioned. And then Goodnight, Mr. Tom.
I read that at primary school.
Really?
Yeah.
It's another no from me.
That was a kind of year six, we're doing the war again, kind of reading piece about evacuation to the countryside. Again, very, very touching. And then The Shell Seekers by Rosamund Pilcher.
That's a no, I'm afraid.
No from me as well. Yeah. I've heard of Rosamund Pilcher, but it's not something I've ever read, I'm afraid.
Yeah, same here.
No, not at all. I'm not sure I'd even heard of the book until I saw this list, to be quite honest.
I think I was the same, yes. Then it's The Secret Garden.
Yep.
That's a no.
Oh. Yeah, I think it's probably seen as more of a girl's book. It's something I read when I was quite little. So yeah, I imagine it's normally sort of pictured with a sort of little girl and lots of flowers on the cover. So I don't imagine many young boys would have chosen it.
I think I've seen the BBC show.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, my memory's really quite hazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a very sweet story. I'm sure I've got the sort of puffin paperback tucked away somewhere. Then we've got Of Mice and Men, which we've already mentioned.
Yeah.
Really, just fantastic, striking piece of Americana there. And then something which you perhaps have read, but I haven't, The Stand by Stephen King.
Yes, I have. That's one of his, it's considered to be one of his best. It's the epic. It's available in a couple of different versions because of varying length. So I think now the definitive version is there, but it's sort of America and the world sort of destroyed by this sort of horrible flu virus and the repercussions of that. It's a good way in. It's a long book. You might want to just sort of go into King via a different way, but certainly is one that I'd recommend.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't actually read any Stephen King, so I'd like to start with something good.
I wouldn't suggest starting there then.
Okay.
Start with Carrie, for example. That's one of his earlier ones, and then sort of work your way through. That's what I would suggest. Then we've got Anna Karenina.
At number 54, again by Tolstoy. Now, I haven't read any Tolstoy.
A no.
It's a no from me.
Yep.
No Russian literature on my course.
I'm trying to think if I have. Possibly have, but not this one, I'm afraid. No.
No.
So moving on, it's A Suitable Boy, Vikram Seth.
That's a no from me.
Same again. Another no.
That's a book that I know my parents have, and it's the kind of thing where I've thought about reading it and never actually got round to it. I'm sure I will at some point. We've got the BFG at 56, which we've talked about.
Yep.
And then one of my absolute childhood favourites at 57, Swallows and Amazons.
Really?
Absolutely loved it.
No, no.
Oh, you're missing out.
It's the children's ones that are letting me down, bizarrely. Yeah. Yep.
I read the whole series. I was a very, very big reader of all these kind of adventurous books about children. I think I really liked the fact that you had Nancy and Peggy, the two sisters who think of themselves as pirates. They're the Amazons. And it's these sort of two sets of children, one set of four siblings, and then Nancy and Peggy sailing their little dinghies on a lake in the Lake District. Sort of, most of it is really in their imagination. There's a little island in the middle of the lake. They go and camp there and so on. But it's just great fun. And I remember thinking at that age, what would be such a fantastic holiday to be out there just sailing around, doing your own thing, sort of investigating, discovering new places. So it really appealed to me.
Right, right. Then Black Beauty, which is another no.
I have read that very, very long time ago. I wasn't one of those sort of pony-loving girls. I was much more the piratey, sailing about in boats kind of girl if I could have been. So I think I probably did only read it the once. I do remember it being incredibly sad. He seems to be mistreated by various different people, which was a bit nasty.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he's treated quite badly, I think, by a couple of his owners. I seem to recall it turns out all right in the end.
Then a more modern children's book, Artemis Fowl.
Yep, that's again, yeah, read that one.
It's another no.
Read right the way through that series as well.
Yeah, there's many in there, that series, isn't there?
Yeah, it's quite a long one, actually. I picked that up because I was looking for these basically adventure books. I think a lot of the kind of grown-up books that you read at university and so on are so serious. It was really nice to just have something that was great fun, sort of exciting characters, exciting events. And the Artemis Fowl series, I think, is really good. Also, if you like that kind of thing, the Stormbreaker series by Anthony Horowitz, the Young Bond series by Charlie Higson, all that kind of same tone to them.
I'd recommend the Young Bonds. Yeah, I read those. Crime and Punishment is the next one.
No, afraid not.
Afraid not. Another no here.
No.
So then back to a children's book, or teen book anyway, Noughts and Crosses.
I have read that one as well.
I've seen it on your shelf.
Absolutely.
Another no from me.
No, I mean, that was something that was actually on my children's fiction core. We had a sort of couple of seminars thinking about sort of post-apocalyptic children's fiction. It's a surprising amount of teen fiction is written set in a sort of post-apocalyptic world. I mean, you've only got to look at sort of the Hunger Games now. That's definitely sort of post-apocalyptic, but it's just a way of dealing with it. And I guess for teenagers, quite a lot of the time, it feels like you've just had some kind of massive disaster anyway, so it's not actually that far-fetched.
All right, there we go. Memoirs of a Geisha.
No, haven't read it. No.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I know, it's supposed to be fantastic.
Yes, it's definitely a highly acclaimed book, but it's never one that I've really come across to actually read. Then we're back to Dickens again, Tale of Two Cities.
No, I did think about giving it a go after my sort of Musketeers phase, because it is set in revolutionary France, at least partly, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it, I'm afraid.
The Thornbirds.
No.
It's another no here as well.
No. Is there a television series?
Oh, I think there might be.
Yeah. I've got a feeling it's something like that. I'm afraid it's not anything that's kind of entered my consciousness, really.
Then on something that I can talk about, it's the first of the many Terry Pratchetts. So we've got Mort, Good Omens, which was a Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
Guards, and also Night Watch.
Now, out of all of those, the only one I've read is Good Omens.
I read that one at secondary school, I believe. That's one that isn't part of the Discworld
series. No, I know.
They're really good fun. I was reading them almost religiously as and when they came out, and then I got to about 15, 16 and kind of grew out of that sort of phase. But a lot of people have found them back in again.
Yeah.
So they're really clever, fantastical sort of world that you've got there with many different characters that it focuses on. I'd say out of those, Mort would be my favourite. Anything that deals with sort of death is one of the best characters.
I know they are supposed to be very sort of witty and very satirical. I have read The Weird Sisters, which I thought was very good with the kind of Macbeth link there.
Yeah.
But one thing I did find sort of flicking through and sort of deciding whether I would like to read them or not is that they send up the world of Lord of the Rings.
Ah, well, that's going to be a
and
problem.
That obviously was a big personal problem for me. I am absolutely sort of in love with The Lord of the Rings. I just think it is fantastic. And anything that might imply that it was a bit on the silly side, it was a bit hard for me to take, really. So that did kind of put me off the Discworld books,
well,
I'm afraid.
Yeah, I can see how that would happen. Yep. So moving on, you've got The Magic Faraway Tree, Ina Blyton.
This is one of the worst books I have ever read in my life.
I have read it. I don't remember hating it, but I was more into the Famous Five, Secret Seven growing up. I remember lots of holidays in Scotland. I'd read a lot of those. I had a big book of Ina Blyton. And I don't remember The Magic Faraway Tree connecting with me in any particular way.
I read it as research for my dissertation, where I was writing about the way that girls were portrayed in sort of young people's fiction. And I was going to sort of start with kind of Blyton and Swallows and Amazons and go for the kind of Famous Five type thing. And I thought, well, I'll read The Faraway Tree because that's for slightly younger readers. And I read a Famous Five at the same time. And the magical Faraway Tree, I just thought would have been better used to mop up a spill on the floor, quite frankly. It was one of the most awful things I've ever read. The choice of vocabulary was so limited. The actual story was non-existent. I just couldn't believe that anyone would have read this to a child. It was appalling, absolutely dreadful. And to be honest, the Famous Five wasn't that much better. It was incredibly sexist.
They were.
When you think that Arthur Ransom was writing Swallows and Amazons at roughly the same kind of time, where you have these girls going off being just, you know, being perfectly well off without any boys there and so on. And the only way that a girl can be really adventurous in Enid Blyton is because she pretends to be a boy. She can't be an adventurous girl. That really, really rankled, I'm afraid.
Well, that passed me all by when I was about 8 or 9, but there
yes.
we go. So moving on, The Magus? I don't know how.
Magus.
There we are.
Well, I haven't read it.
Neither have I. Don't even know how to say it.
It's a kind of sci-fi thing, I think. So perhaps that was more my area of expertise. But no, I haven't read it, I'm afraid.
Then it's Good Omens and Guards, which you've already mentioned. And then Lord of the Flies, William Golding, which I have read.
Yeah, really interesting.
That's a classic GCSE one.
It is, yeah. Although, I didn't read it till later.
Oh, right. No, we did, yeah.
But, yeah, very interesting. Great fun. I kind of think it's probably very true. Some groups of young people that I've seen, I can imagine them becoming quite tribal if you left them alone on an island with no grown-ups.
Poor Piggy.
Poor Piggy.
Then we've got Perfume.
No, I haven't,
another
actually.
From me. Yep.
I know, again, that's supposed to be quite an interesting story.
Then The Ragged Trousered Philanthropists.
No.
No, that's another no from me, I'm afraid. Then more Pratchett with Night Watch.
And then we've got Matilda by Roald Dahl, which we've mentioned. And then at 75, Bridget Jones' Diary by Helen Fielding.
So I'm expecting you to say yes.
No.
Good.
No, I haven't read that at all, no. I did know of it, but I haven't read it, no. The first sort of experience I had of Bridget Jones was the film.
Same here, yep.
And then we're on to The Secret History by Donna Tartt.
Which I absolutely love.
I've never read
it. It's absolutely fantastic. I read it at university, which is probably the best place to read it. It's about sort of an elite American university, and you know from the word go that there's going to be some horrendous murder.
Mm.
And with a rather, I always like a good old unreliable narrator to teach you. So, yep, I would definitely heartily recommend that. Her second book apparently didn't do that well.
Oh.
But I've seen her popping up. Bret Easton Ellis is a big fan of The Secret History.
Oh, well, that's a good recommendation.
So it's always a good one there. The Woman in White, Wilkie Collins.
Yeah, love this. Absolutely brilliant. He was a sort of protege of Dickens, but in my book, just so much better. Brilliant, brilliant mystery, sort of Victorian mystery story. Really, really good. Recommend, definitely.
Yep, I'll look out for that one. Ulysses.
Yes. Took me a while, but yes, James Joyce.
I've read bits.
Really, really interesting. That was something that I read at university. Quite an odd style to get into. I think you really have to get your head around the way in which he writes.
Yeah, we didn't quite, for example, this was taught on the course at university. Mm. It didn't click until one of the lecturers actually read it out loud.
Mm.
And then you're like, ah, right. So it does take a little bit longer to read than you perhaps normally, because you are sort of sitting there getting into the rhythm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Bit of a classic, modern classic, if you like. Ugh, Bleak House.
Well, what can we say about that?
Yes, let's move on. Double Act by Jacqueline Wilson. It's another Jacqueline Wilson there. There's a few more coming up in a moment.
It's another Roald Dahl with The Twits. So that'll be my personal favourite there.
And then at 82, I Capture the Castle by Dodie Smith.
Another note.
Now, you're looking blank. I did read this. I think it's supposed to be read perhaps when you were about 13 and probably when you were a girl. I read it a bit later than that. I think it was made into a film, but I haven't actually seen that. But I enjoyed that. That was a sort of nice, gentle bit of sort of early 1900s sort of teenage fiction. Yeah. Well worth a read. Holes by Louis Sachar. Oh, now I've read that. I really enjoyed that. That was something on my uni course and I've taught it a lot as well. It's a great fun book. I really like the kind of dual narrative thing there again. You've got the boys and the sort of juvenile detention centre in the present day. And then plus you've got a kind of social history kind of narrative going on to do with racism set in kind of cowboy times. Mm.
Yeah, it's one to look out for then. Gormenghast?
Yeah.
I sat next to someone at school who was reading Gormenghast. That's the closest I've got to it.
It was one that I was able to borrow from my mum. It's a very, very strange, kind of dark fantasy, sort of gothic novel. It's really interesting. It's very, very weird, though. It's worth a read, but I think you've got to be in the right frame of mind.
Right, okay. The God of Small Things.
No,
that's
I haven't.
A yes from me.
Ah.
Yeah, that was on my post-colonial course. Very interesting, very descriptive. It's mm-hmm. definitely one that I would point out, you know, try and go away, try and look up for that one. Then fantastic. Another Jacqueline Wilson, Vicky Angel.
This isn't one I've read, actually, no. I think after a little while, as a grown-up, they all kind of meld into one. I think once you've read a couple, you've got the idea, really. Although I know a lot of sort of 12-year-old girls who will read every single one.
Still popular, so yeah.
Yep, still popular.
Why not?
87, Brave New World.
That's a yes.
No from me.
Yeah, that's I'd pair that one up with 1984.
Mm.
It's sort of set in a world where everything is supposed to be nice and
yes.
But then you've got the underclass who are mistreated and it all starts to go horribly wrong. So read that one with some Orwell.
Right.
That's a good one to pair it up with. Old Comfort Farm?
No, I'm afraid
another
not.
No from
no.
me, I'm afraid, no.
Magician, 89, Raymond E. Feist.
That's another no.
No, no. And then number 90, which I feel I ought to have read, On the Road by Jack Kerouac.
I'm the same, I feel like I should have read that one.
It's just never quite managed to get onto my shelf or into my bag or whatever. I've never quite got as far as actually reading it.
But 91, I think this one sort of surprised me. The Godfather.
I've never read it.
Yeah, neither have I.
I've also never seen the film.
I have seen the first film.
Mm.
I need to see the second and third.
Yeah.
Though I have to skip that one, I'm afraid. Yep.
Now, this, I've never even heard of this, apart from on this list, 92, The Clan of the Cave Bear.
Yes, this is part of a... I haven't read it. This is part of a series. The last book has just come out, set in sort of prehistoric times.
Oh, right.
Sort of cavemen.
That's unusual.
Sort of yeah. No, they do sell very well, but it's not one that I've actually sat down and read.
Oh.
Then we've got another Pratchett, The Colour of Magic. That's
no,
one
again,
of the early
no from
ones,
me.
I believe. And then The Alchemist.
Now, this was one of the 2012 World Book Night giveaways, wasn't it?
It was, yes. It's always shelved in mind, body and spirit if you go into a bookshop.
Right.
So I've always been a bit uncertain about this one. So it's not one I've read. I haven't
no,
read
I haven't either, no. actually, I have to say. Catherine by Anya Seton.
That's a no.
No. No. See, I get a bit thin when as it gets to this end of the list. I've had quite a few on the first sort of 30 or so, but yeah,
I've been picking
up
a few
now.
Points as we've been going along.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
absolutely. Cain and Abel by Geoffrey Archer.
I wasn't expecting him on the list.
No.
No.
Well, yeah, ex-convict Geoffrey Archer.
Yeah, I don't think I've read bits of Archer, and I can't say I was that impressed.
No, I've never read anything of his at all, I'm afraid. I don't think he gets across the threshold.
No, he doesn't really know.
And then we've got Love in the Time of Cholera, which we mentioned earlier. Really lovely magic realism book by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Girls in Love by Jacqueline Wilson at 98. The Princess Diaries by Meg Cabot.
I'm afraid I've missed
I haven't,
that one.
I'm afraid, no. It just looked very, very pink, which puts me off, I'm afraid. And then number 100, last one on the list, Midnight's Children by Salman Rushdie.
That's a big, big yes from me. I've read this one so many times. My copy actually is falling apart now. I've written my dissertation on Rushdie,
mm-hmm.
More magical realism. So if you like that sort of thing, I think it's a definite must. It's about the birth of India and at midnight, these magical children with these powers. And yes, a two big thumbs up from me.
Brilliant. I have read it, but quite a while ago. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as you did. I did think it was pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, I'd definitely say go on and read a few more. There's a few more companion pieces to it. So there we are. We've got through the 100. So there's a few gaps from me.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to pick one that you hadn't read, Which one would it be?
Oh, that's tough.
I can recommend you one.
Okay.
Well, I'd definitely say The Secret History.
Right.
More of a modern one.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of twists and turns, very well written. I'm tempted to read Catcher in the Rye.
I think you'd really enjoy it. I think it goes very well with that kind of Bret Easton Ellis, that kind of psychological deconstruction. Yeah, again, you said you like an unreliable narrator. Well, this is first person from the perspective of this sort of older teenage boy going out into the world. Yeah, it's really interesting. Really good book.
Right, well, I think that settled it for me then. So, other than The Secret History, did you any catch your eye that you thought you really wanted to read?
I think I'd really actually like to try The Grapes of Wrath. I know a couple of people who say that's their favourite book. And as I said, I do feel like I've kind of neglected Steinbeck a little bit, considering how much I like Of Mice and Men. So I think I'd like to give that a try.
Well, there we are. That's our confessions of the famous books that we haven't read. Hope you enjoyed that. If you do have any thoughts, let us know. We're at adventureswithwords.com or at wordadventures on Twitter. I'm Rob.
I've been Kate.
And thanks for listening.